I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today is Nicole Beckwith, Staff Cyber Intelligence Analyst at GE Aviation. You can find her on LinkedIn and follow her on Twitter at Nicole Beckwith. Welcome, Nicole. So happy to have you with us today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So, Nicole, you've been with GE Aviation working in their cyber intelligence division for a few years now. And before that, you were with the U.S. Secret Service as a task force officer, responding to governments and agencies targeted by cyber actors. Can you start off by sharing with us a little about what interested you about cybersecurity and how that ultimately led to your career?
Sure. It's really been a progression, which started out with me, you know, going to college for graphic and web design, and then followed up with some computer programming. After that, I worked my way to the defense industry as a manager of marketing communications, and then eventually into law enforcement. And that's really where I did a lot of the digital forensics and incident response, and just loved doing all of that. The common thread throughout all of that is IT, computers, and cyber investigations. I like that every day is something new. There's always new intelligence to be seen and new cases to investigate. My dog's barking.
That's okay. We welcome dogs here. That's awesome. And so what interested you about the U.S. Secret Service?
So they're an elite agency with some of the best and brightest agents serving to protect the leader of our country. So that in and of itself, of course, is super interesting to me. But what a lot of people don't realize is that their duties actually extend beyond that into investigating financial crime and, of course, cybercrime, which, they typically cross over into each other. So when they asked me if I would be interested in going to train at the National Computer Forensics Institute and to serve as a task force officer alongside them, I obviously jumped at the opportunity. They swore me in federally as a deputy U.S. Marshal and then sent me to several training courses over the span of about 18 months. And although with them, I saw some terrible things and spent some time away from my family going through that training, I will never regret that decision, because some of my most impactful and memorable cases were made with them. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I bet. And you're still a reserve police officer, correct?
Yes, I am. I actually serve as a volunteer police officer with a local city. I augment their detective section and help to train their officers and many other officers in the region on everything from how to properly collect digital evidence and what resources are available to investigate those. And then, advanced OSINT techniques, digital forensics. And I still get calls weekly from local, state, and federal officers asking for assistance. I worked really hard to get that commission and that badge, so I wasn't quite ready to fully give it up.
Yeah, absolutely. And so how did the experience that you've gained being a law enforcement officer prepare you for your cyber intelligence roles with GE Aviation?
Oh, that's a great question. In law enforcement, I saw some really tough cases in both financial and cybercrime. And in order to make a solid case for prosecution, you have to learn to set your biases and your reactions aside and question everything. You need to have the ability to think like the investigator, the prosecutor, the defense, the juror, and the bad actor. So you really have to put together the pieces of the puzzle that you know and fill in the rest using your expertise and available information that's out there. And the same goes for cyber threat intelligence. So as an analyst, we try to deal in facts, but there are obviously some things that you will never know for sure. So you have to use the data and the collection of information around you to inform your consumer. Sometimes this evolves over time, just like in a case, you get additional pieces of evidence and you reassess. I also learned how to lead. So in law enforcement, I led several high profile cases. I briefed state and federal elected officials, I directed SWAT teams, worked with our financial auditors, wrote search warrants, conducted trash pulls, and sat outside at 3 a.m. in the freezing cold on surveillance. So what all of that taught me is that you have to lead by example. You need to be the one that is willing to get your hands dirty in every aspect of the job. And you know that no job is too small or beneath you. On our team, everyone contributes to every task.
That's great. And speaking of your team, what are some of your responsibilities as a staff cyber intelligence analyst at GE Aviation?
Well, I wear a lot of hats. But as well as the rest of the team, you know, I focus on analyzing events, incidents, tracking bad actors, and you know, analyzing their TTPs, conducting research and open source intelligence. I work with our partners internally to help curate their priority intelligence requirements. And I collaborate with other businesses such as GE Capital and GE Renewables on joint projects. I also work with our external partners, such as the Aviation ISAC and the National Defense ISAC and many other government agencies for intel sharing. With that, I write newsletters, monthly and weekly reports, and conduct briefings, trainings, and presentations on a whole myriad of subjects.
Awesome. And has COVID-19 and working from home impacted things for your team?
Definitely. Obviously, the aviation industry has been deeply impacted by less travel. Right. And so for us, that means less engines going out the door. But as pretty much everyone will agree on, cyber threats have not slowed down. So we've stayed busy throughout this. As a team, we have adjusted to working remotely, but we found that we can still be just as successful at home, you know, working in these jobs.
And I obviously looked at your LinkedIn and your Twitter when I was putting together the script for us, but you share on Twitter that OSINT is your jam. So what is it about open source intelligence that you like so much?
Yeah, so that's one of my favorite things to work with. I love the sheer amount of data that you can gather from publicly available sites and finding new sources of intelligence. You know, there's always new places and sites and ways that you can gather that intelligence. It helped me tremendously throughout my law enforcement career, you know, investigating the crimes that I did and the suspects that I had. And that has transferred nicely over to threat intelligence. But for me, it really is that thrill of the hunt and that adrenaline rush that you get when you find that last piece of data, when you find what you suspected should be there all along, or when you make that ultimate connection to a place or a person. There really is nothing quite like that.
That sounds really cool. It's very thrilling, but like satisfying as well.
Right. Exactly.
And I see that you're a trainer with Interpol. So can you share with us a little bit about that initiative as well?
Yeah, that was one of the neatest things that popped up for me this past year. Shortly after I gave a presentation at the CONINT OSINT conference on mental health and investigations, Interpol reached out to me and asked if I would be willing to help them put together a section of their training for their field agents, basically on how to protect themselves mentally during their investigations. You know, they look at terrorism, human trafficking, child exploitation, and so many other disturbing crimes. So I helped them put together this training, and in it, I discuss ways that they can really shield themselves from the very beginning, you know, little tips and tricks that I've learned along the way. And then also how to use different coping techniques during their investigations and also at home. So this is essentially the training that I wish I had been given before I had started. So I decided to take what is a very difficult and emotionally charged topic and turn it into a training. And I really hope that it gets normalized in the community, talking about the mental health behind, you know, investigations and open source intelligence gathering. It's probably hands down the hardest talk I've given, but it's also been my most accepted and talked about training in my career so far. And as hard as it was for me to go through and rehash some of the stories that I tell in it, I've gotten many messages and emails from agents around the world, which has just been incredible for me, thanking me for that training. So it was worth every bit of it.
Wow, that's awesome. And thank you so much for doing that. I'm that's really important for our industry to be talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, never short of things going on for you, you're also the diversity and inclusion director at Thunderbird Cyber Academy at Lakota Schools. So what are some of the things you're working on and doing as that diversity and inclusion director?
Yeah, so I love talking about this. First, the Thunderbird Cyber Academy is a cutting edge program and the first of its kind in Ohio that the Lakota school system has put together. And they did this in order to fill the skills gap, both here, locally and in the industry as a whole, and help train that next generation of cyber professionals. So essentially, when the Cyber Academy students leave high school, they will have the foundational skills and certifications needed to, jump right into a career after high school, or it will give them a boost in college to better prepare them for whatever career path they're going down. And I really have to brag for a second about our students, because we have approximately 100 students enrolled this year, and they are currently competing in Cyber Start America and the National Cyber League. And for the National Cyber League, these high school students are competing against college students. And we have over 30 students right now that have scored in the top 50% and 12 students that have scored in the top 25% nationally.
Wow.
That's just incredible. And then for Cyber Start America, over half of the qualifiers in the state of Ohio are from Lakota schools in our academy. And we have more qualifiers from Lakota than 33 other states. So our students are really impressive. So just had to brag about that for a second. Additionally, with that program, I developed the Lakota LOCS program, and LOCS stands for Ladies of Cybersecurity. And that was part of the inclusion and diversity initiative that we started from the very beginning. The goal here is to empower girls starting in elementary and middle school, because sometimes they don't really realize the STEM careers that are available. So a couple of the issues that we've seen crop up is that we really have to overcome the girls believing that they're not smart enough. So we've seen that pop up quite often. And then if they show that they're smart, potentially being made fun of. And so we have to overcome those. And then the third thing is we have to make them believe that it's okay to not be good at something. Just because something is hard does not mean that you're not cut out for it. And it's okay that if you have to work harder to understand something, you're still going to be able to have a successful career. Not all of us get stuff right away. So my goal is to show them that not only is this a great career path, but they are smart enough to do it and it's fun. So that's one of the things that we've done. And then as the director of diversity and inclusion, my ultimate goal is to increase the representation and participation of all students. So with gender and race and economic status, we want to make sure everybody is included in this and that everybody is afforded the same opportunities. And although we're just getting started, the numbers for this coming school year are so promising, and we're already seeing a 50% increase in the students that are enrolling in this academy. And we're only going to continue to work at growing the interest in this field and of course the academy. And just a quick plug, if anyone is interested, we're always looking for guest speakers, mentors, which we call cyber Sherpas, which I think is so cute. And then job shadowing and internship opportunities, and of course, financial partners as well.
That's great. I'm glad that you plugged it, because I was going to ask you to do that anyway. So that's perfect. And speaking of, women in cybersecurity, Nicole, you were featured in the book Women Know Cyber, 100 Fascinating Females Fighting Cybercrime, which was published by Cybersecurity Ventures. And so what does being a woman in cyber mean to you?
Well, for me, I really hope that the work that I'm doing and the path that I'm carving makes it easier for other women to follow. But it also means bringing a different perspective to the table. It's all about challenging the status quo, one, in order to make a more diverse work environment. But then ultimately, we need that diversity to help create a better finished product for our consumer.
And so what was a challenging moment in your career that you overcame, and how did you overcome it? And I know that's kind of a loaded question, but...
There's so many that I the one thing that has popped up over and over again for me is, hands down, I am my biggest challenge to overcome. We all fight with imposter syndrome. We hear that phrase used quite often. So for me, this past year, I've been asked to speak at some really amazing places and conferences. And, I was my own biggest hurdle to success in that. So I had to overcome telling myself that I wasn't good enough. I didn't have enough experience. I was going to mess it all up. I'm not like this person or that person, or, why would anyone want to listen to me? So I'm sure this sounds familiar to a lot of people, but it really took a lot of self pep talks. Looking back at my resume and my accomplishments, really helped a ton. And then friends lifting me up to keep pushing me forward. But I really want to give two pieces of advice to everyone that has really helped me this past year. The first is me just telling you, listen, you are good enough. And it doesn't matter how junior or new you feel you are, your voice matters in this industry. And we all have something to learn from you. Some of my best learning experiences have come from someone who was new, just asking the question, why do we do it this way? So, no matter what you feel, you are enough, and, I want to learn from you. The second is something that my current manager, John Lechko, told me this past year that I have on a sticky note on my desk because it really resonated with me, and it has kept me going in a lot of hard spots. So he said, just because it comes easy to you does not mean it isn't valuable to everyone else. And so, I keep saying that phrase over and over again, but basically it means that we tend to not give ourselves credit for the stuff when it seems easy to us. So that has really pushed me through a lot of my self-doubt over this past year, and, helped me jump into some of those uncomfortable positions that, I was doubting myself for.
Thank you for sharing that. That was great advice. And to build on that, I'd love to hear, and, you kind of spoke to this earlier, but any advice you'd want to give to other women and underrepresented groups and minorities looking to build a career in cyber and the tech industry?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess my one thing I would say is it's worth it. I'm not going to sit here and say it's going to always be easy, because it isn't. But the rewards far outweigh the cost. And you have so many people in this industry that are here to support you. And then lastly, don't ever let anyone tell you that you do not belong at the table, because everybody belongs and everybody has a seat at this table.
Thank you. And finally, in wrapping up our conversation, it's been a busy time for all of us. You've been very active, with all of the different initiatives you're a part of, in addition to your, day job. But have you picked up anything fun during quarantine?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So a couple things. One, I obviously didn't want to go to the salon, so I learned to do my own nails at home. That's the first thing. But secondly, it's not something new per se, but I did start painting again. Oh. I took classes several years ago with a Chinese brush painting master artist, and she was just incredible. And since then, I've given it my own spin, but the creativity has definitely helped break up the monotony of being stuck at home for so long, and given me an additional outlet.
That's awesome. And you can kind of work that other side of your brain. That probably feels nice as well.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, Nicole, this has been so much fun. Thank you for joining us. I really enjoyed speaking with you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Nicole Beckwith, Staff Cyber Intelligence Analyst at GE Aviation. You can find her on LinkedIn and follow her on Twitter at Nicole Beckwith. And you can listen to all of our podcast episodes at cybercrime.radio.